Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? You think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC for hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me and bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did, from coast to coast, we roasting toast, I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close,
do
you think they really ready for you now, do you think that there'll be many of you now, do you really think they ready for you now, do you think they really ready for you now, do you think that there'll be many of you now, do you really think they ready for you now? Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame. But we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
The man you're about to see in here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high.
Turn in the tide,
loud as the North Sea.
Sing a song full of the faith and the doctrine.
Thou who has brought us thus far.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home. Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
347-838-9825. Chimney Underground Radio Network is now on the air. Today is the anniversary. Chairman Fred Hampton's murder. So I think it's only appropriate for us to do a show on him today. I'm going to play a clip, a documentary about the murder of Fred Hampton. All right, let me go ahead and get into it. I ain't going to go on no Bobby Rush deal because I am running against the ex-Black Panther that was down with one of my men more study coming up in the game out there in Maywood, Fred Hampton, the chairman. So let me go ahead and set it up. If I can get it going on now. Okay, here we go. Take a little time.
I found this man laying with his head roughly the center of the bed, his body coming back like this. His two hands were laying over the bed like this, and just off or right below his right hand was a .45 automatic. Just a short way away from his left hand was a shotgun. I didn't know if he was how bad he was injured, so I picked up or I grabbed him by the left wrist and I pulled him out into or onto the door, which had been used as a barricade. I then backed off again.
Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton.
Proper tactics that when the pig gets a jabbing with you, the pig gets wrong, you whoop your guns out on him, blow him away, and then you have the ability. In fact, you have made that pig act in a desired manner. But for what? For a new system, brother. We need a new system. The people need a new system.
I sat yesterday afternoon next to Bobby Seale while he said that a federal marshal tried to ram a 4-inch piece of cloth gauze into his mouth. 3 marshals held his head. 1 marshal held his nose so that he couldn't breathe, and the 5th marshal attempted to press against his mouth with all his weight this gauze that only resulted in Bobby bleeding profusely around the mouth and the lips as they tried to jam this piece of object into his mouth to silence him.
I'm so thirsty for revolution. I'm so crazy about the people. We're going to stand together. We're gonna have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance of solidarity. We're gonna have a progressive white, all of us. And we're gonna march on this pig pile of structure, and we're gonna say, stick 'em up, motherfucker. We come for what's ours. Up against the wall. Power to the people. Thanks, brother.
Everybody in the state of Illinois is going to have to be involved or even around the revolution, because we're going to have one. We're going to have to do more than talk. We're going to have to do more than listen. We're going to even have to do more than learn. We're going to have to start practicing, and that's very hard. We got to start getting out there with the people. And a lot of times we think we're better than the people. That's the insult, and that's criminal. It's going to take a lot of hard work.
Come on in, little brother. Come on in, little sister. Y'all can sit down and get something to eat.
Y'all take off y'all's coats.
We need some more stuff out here. Sit down, man. Everybody's going to eat. Y'all can eat as much as y'all want to. Right on. Who wants to play? Who wants to hear you? Who all wants to hear you? One, two, three. Who wants to hear you? Raise their hand up. Oh, anybody wants to hear you? All right. Who's milk is this over here? What is it?
His brother.
That's good for your teeth, man. It makes your teeth strong. Who left this milk over here?
Mom. That's what the Better Security Program is. A lot of people think it's charity, but what does it do? It takes the people from a stage to another stage to another stage. And any program is revolutionary. It's an advanced program. Revolution is change. Honey, and just keep on changing. That's what we do. We take the people in there and take them through those changes, and before you know it, they are in fact not only knowing what socialism is, they don't even have to know what it is. They're endorsing it, they're participating, they're observing, and they're supporting socialism.
Oh, you finna go to school now?
All right.
Right on. I'll cry with just people.
That's people saying socialism is the people. You're afraid of yourself. If you're afraid of socialism, you're afraid of yourself.
You basically knowing my ideology, basically you knowing me, knowing yours, you can support some of our programs. Is that what you're saying?
Why not?
And you believe in programs like the Breast of Children program and free health clinics. Right on, brother?
We believe they're good things.
Uh-huh.
As a focal point to organize their mothers and fathers.
Uh-huh.
Peace.
Mm-hmm. There's no educational programs here?
That's come out of socialized sometimes. You know, you set that up, but I mean, we can't put everything on one piece of paper.
What about this bank?
Credit union?
Mm-hmm.
Credit union. Credit union, my brother.
It is a bank.
Are you hip to a credit union?
It is a bank. Yeah, are you going by money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bank. It's a bank. Owned by the people. Run for the people. And by the people.
Mm-hmm. What will money be given out to people for?
Well, the people would decide that.
You want to buy,
you know, whatever, you know, the people in the community decide.
You need some living room furniture, maybe? You need a car, maybe? See, the thing is with me, Dig, I need to know some more about it. I wish you had some more literature about the educational thing here. Because, you dig, as far as we're concerned in the struggle, when you look at struggle, is that this depends on the educational thing, you dig. Because
this depends on the education. Well, the whole thing.
No, but in the end, this does. You can form this with no education. You can form this.
No, not the way we're talking about forming it. You know, right. We're talking about forming it right. You know, it's not on the paper. We didn't write it on the paper.
Form it right with no education.
No.
Let me give you an example. Yomo Kenyatta formed the excellent revolution with no education. And on the end of the head thing, Yomo told the motherfucker, I said, well, you know, you've been educated to hate the enemy, but I'm your brother. I helped you lead the revolution. Now I'm more oppression. Another example, Papa Doc in Haiti. Papa Doc in Haiti hated everything white. Man, you couldn't put this white paper in front of Papa Doc's face. But he moved all the white people out and he took over and be oppressed. He did, because no education. And the people that have been educated, they just said that we don't hate the motherfucking white people. We hate the oppressor, whether he be white, black, brown, or yellow. So we got to know the educational program to find out what is going to be in the finale. A lot of people work. Yomo Kenyatta is called not a... never a revolutionary, but an ex-revolutionary. So it's Papa Doc. They brought on a successful revolution. That thing in the Mau-Mau's was a bitch. Bantu freedom fighters, all that kind of action. But what we're saying is, this is the end. But you don't judge Castro now. You can't do it. Nobody in this room could judge whether Castro's going to be a revolutionary or not. You know what I mean? We're talking about things, you know what I mean, with China, the People's Republic, and even at the stage they're in now, talking about even going on further into a communistic state. That's what we're talking about. That was a revolutionary. So we got to understand here the educational program that you have to be able to figure out whether it will go on the right lines, where the people will end up in a situation where they can be able to really control themselves. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, the people take this local foundation and start stealing money because they won't be really educated to why it's the people's thing anyway. You understand what I'm saying? With no education, you have neocolonialism instead of colonialism like you got in Africa now, like you got in Haiti. So what we're talking about is there has to be an educational program. That's very important. As a matter of fact, we're so important with us that a person has to go through 6 weeks of our political education before he can consider himself a member of the party, able to even run out ideology for the party. Why? Because if they don't have an education, then they're nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? They're nowhere because they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. You might get people caught up in an emotionalist movement. You understand me? You might get them caught up in because they're poor and they want something. And then if they're not educated, they want more. And before you know it, they'll be capitalists. And before you know it, we'll have Negro imperialists.
Yeah, you see, brother, the reason we don't do a lot of talking is because what you say is foregone conclusion with us.
Yeah, well, see, brother, the reason I do a lot of talking is because there's no foregone conclusion with me.
Who are they programmed to be for us? You got black history, you got black Christmas, you got black brown all day, you got black April Fool. Ain't here for nobody but black businessmen. And I say that anybody that comes into our community and does an anxiety situation that does not meet the need of the masses, that I, Chairman President of the Black Panther Party, says that I catch that nigga by his collar neck and beat him to death with a black Panther paper. We're not here.
Mortality rate, where you have lead poisoning, where you have inadequate medical service. We saw the basic need for free medical service, and we worked hard and worked over long periods of time in order to make that a reality. Now, up to this day in the black community, you have doctors there who are more concerned with private wealth rather than public health. The concept behind the medical center is that we would take the profits out of the medical profession. Our medical center is a direct result of the basic need in the black community for a free medical service.
You had this done about 3 days ago, you said? This is not the burned hand. This is another one. Oh, okay.
Does it feel painful? No, it's not pain. Like it's infected and everything.
It's good. It's good, yeah. We got doctors every day this week. Next week, we need one for next Thursday.
Come to the clinic tomorrow for an appointment.
What's the chance of getting ambulance? If we can buy an ambulance, that's the best chance. What about
The idea is all right, but the idea is all right, but we just have to have money to get ambulance.
Well, can you use
ambulance? Yeah. I tell you, I'm going to bring a couple of pharmacists from the hospital. They're going to come out and see if they're interested in working,
We can have patients come through, see a doctor. After they get through, get a test, what happens. Then they comes in and see the people's advocate. That's a community person or person in the party who acts like a liaison between the center here itself and the community. He asked them what type of service they thought they got here in the center, any other criticisms of the medical center itself. It's also to deal with problems outside medical problems, The People's Advocate has a resource file. In this file we have teachers, sociologists, speech therapists, social workers. This is all part of the resource file.
Okay, well, look at here. Look at here. Just sit over here and thought about all that jail time he had behind his motherfucking back and say, I got the rap too. I'll tell you a minute, Mr. Fisher, he got to say something. This is Bobby Rush, Deputy Minister of Defense for the state of Illinois.
bad motherfucker. You can tell the way that Huey, that Bobby, Kevin Bobby Seale feels the way about Huey P. Newton. I feel the same way about Bobby Rush. We didn't start the Black Panther Party, but we do know this, that we are some bad motherfuckers. The Black Panther Party don't remain in the state of Illinois. You know, sometimes we get to talking and I go to court, and then so with Fred, I come back and Rush and Fred, we got to keep you on the street. Then Rush will go to court, he'll come back and I say, Rush, we got to keep you on the street. And after we just went back and forth, we decided that we like each other so well, goddammit, we both gonna stay on the motherfucking street. Ain't nobody going nowhere. They ain't taking us nowhere. We gonna stay right here with the people. We're going to have to move, and we got to move fast, we got to move hard, and we're gonna have to move organized to be able to keep Bobby Rush on the street. They got our field secretary, Jay Daniels Jr., up against the wall. They got our Mr. Mason Chalk up against the wall. Everybody even got the other friend up against the wall. Everybody against the wall. They even talking about giving folks 20 years. Talking about giving me 20 years. Dig it? For ice cream truck robbery. That's right. $71 worth of ice cream. 710 ice cream bars. I might be big, but I can't eat 710 ice cream bars. Even though they tried to give me all that bad publicity, they still came out in the end showing the true nature of a Panther. Because they said, I went into the truck, beat up this pig that was in our community exploiting people, took the ice cream bars from them, handed them out to the kids. Even though they made me a thief, they made me a Robin Hood type thief. Gave to the people. Here's a man who represents the people. Deputy Minister of Defense for the state of Illinois. Bad motherfucker. A brother of mine, a brother I've been working with a long time ago, continue to work with. I'm going to eat with him. I'm going to sleep with him. I'm going to die with him. I'm going to live with him. I'm going to leave with him. Bobby Rush. We're going to take the case to the people, and the people say that Fred is going to remain free, that Fred is innocent of anything against the people. He might be guilty of fucking over the power structure, but we can relate to that. All power to the people, and we're going to move on this power structure, and like Bobby said, we're going to say, get up against the wall, motherfucker, because it's a hold up, and we came to give for power. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to organize a movement so big to make sure that the leaders of the Black Panther Party in this state are not political prisoners and are not exiled or not killed, that movement is going to be so big that we might even have to go and get Huey P. Newton and let him carry a sign. We're going to have everybody involved. We're going to have everybody involved. And we're going to sign a state called Free Fred. Don't that sound nice? Hey, let's do that. Free Fred.
The Honorable Justice Life Society. The defense will call this person.
I'd like you again to describe to me what happened, if anything, after you and Officer Phillips had pulled onto the school ground.
I identified you as the person who grabbed me by the throat and held me down in the ice cream stand.
Well, we were walking. Looking through the crowd. And looking for the one who beat him up.
And what, if anything, did he say when he saw me? Or what, if anything, did you say to him? Who said something first?
He said, that's him. I'll never forget his face. That's the one.
Okay, now when that police car pulled up, what, if anything, happened?
Well, policeman, one policeman was on the outside of the car, and one was on the inside of the car.
Officer John pointed to his thread and said, that's the man that did it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream man said, yes, I think so.
So in other words, the officer pointed out he as being the person who had robbed this man, and in response to that, after that, the ice cream truck driver said, I guess that's the man.
That's right.
What race were these police?
One was white and one was colored.
Right on. Officer, do you know the defendant, Fred Hampton?
Yes, I know Fred Hampton.
Do you know basically what Fred Hampton stands for? Politically.
No, I don't.
Officer Don, do you know the situation that poor people, black people and white poor people and red people and brown people in the country today?
Well, not completely.
But you do know, that part that you do know, is that part includes the fact that these people are being oppressed by some white people that like to oppress people to make profit? Do you know that?
Objection. Same.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you know that a whole lot of blood-sucking pigs are now... Do you say you're free, Officer Dunn?
Yes, I think I'm free.
No more questions, Officer Dunn. God help you.
So we always say the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
We have brought to trial here Fred Hampton. You are here to judge between two conflicting testimonies. Somebody is lying. Now, reason stands.
I reason is very clear here. That Private Jones, who had come from Sanford, North Carolina, would have no great desire to see Fred Hampton up in this trial. But Fred Hampton, a key figure in this community, has great reason for not wanting to be put in jail.
But the state's attorney and the state's attorney's office has reason to see Fred Hampton in jail. We've got a new state's attorney, you see. And he said already what he thought about people that had different political beliefs than he had. His speeches sound somewhat like those of Hitler. And we know why he wants to see Fred Hampton put in jail. Why do I have a lot of arrests? Because of harassment. Why is that harassment? Because the people that harassed me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently, and they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people, and if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization who will be the first organization they'll move on because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear saying that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people. And what makes them mad about that? They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They have them caught up in their movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't
they fight fire with fire, bitch. We say you fight fire with water, bitch. We gonna fight racism, not racism, but we gonna fight with solidarity. We say we not gonna fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we going to fight with socialism. We still have said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of us people to get together and have an international post-hand revolution.
Right on.
Right on.
And that's saying all power to the people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off his back, because this is lower, this is upper. This is the oppressed, this is the oppressor. This is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves. They say, I'm black, and I hate white people. I'm white, and I hate black people. I'm Latin American, and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies, and I hate Indians. So we fight amongst each other. And you heard the testimony of pigs here, and you got pigs of all colors. You know that. You got pigs that are white, you got pigs that are black, you even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Hanrahan would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to keep you to believing that I'm your enemy, and that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Davy, and other than Tricky Dicky Nixon. If you make the right decision, you can depress people of the world and get complete satisfaction. I know you return against the verdict of not guilty. Thank you.
Today is May 1st. UEP Newton rises up for appeal today.
Freedom! 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 Freedom!
Our chairman, Fred Hampton, has not arrived yet. The pigs are trying to incarcerate him. These are some of the things we have to deal with.
Somebody somewhere knows what happened to Fred this afternoon. So, you motherfucking pigs, get off your dead asses, FBI, and J. Who Egger.
Right
on. And find Fred before 7 o'clock.
Right on.
You find Fred, motherfucker.
Right on.
And if anybody's out there with him, that's harming him, or that's kidnapping him, and he happens to be a pig, well, then we just don't discriminate by whose ass we're going to.
Right on!
Y'all go home now and breathe them pieces.
Right on!
Set them sights and whatnot.
Right on!
Raise the window.
Right on!
And if we can't find Fred, we're going to give y'all a call.
Right on!
I know somebody's going to screw this to mean that, we advocate people to go out and ride. You know? And I told y'all before, you know, the riding just ain't no hip thing.
Right on.
So we want everybody, when they leave here, we got to leave here at 2 o'clock, I think. Hey, Pig back there, do we have to leave here at 2?
Ask him again.
Hey, Pig in the back.
Come
on, you talk that cheap pig, that old, decrepit motherfucker.
Right on.
Marxism consists of thousands of truths, but they all boil out in one sentence.
Panther headquarters. A police raid is expected.
We're praying that Hanrahan leads the charge.
I said that he needs the charge.
What type of blood do you have?
Be positive. Make sure you don't get no pig blood.
Huh?
Red.
All those folks by the window, when if Adam by, I mean, tear gas is thrown, here's your water and your mask. Keep this on you. All okay.
You know, I know a lot of people, you know, that hear things like this and see things like this, couldn't understand the motives behind it. Some of us young people, you know what I mean? I know a lot of people couldn't understand. Me, myself, you know, I was born in a so-called bourgeois community and had some of the better things you could see in life. And I found that even some of the better things in life for black people was too cool. And I found that it was more people starving than it was people eating. And I found it was more people didn't have clothes than they did have clothes. And I found that I just happened to be one of the few. And I made a commitment to myself that I wouldn't stop doing what I'm doing until all those people are free. A lot of times I wanted for it to be possible for people to be free under capitalism. I wanted to, for socialism to be able to be brought about through means other than violent means. But those were times when I was trying to be subjective. I was looking at things and trying to make them the way I wanted to make them be. Because I didn't mind dying, but I just thought, well, everybody shouldn't have to die. What we're saying is that we're more than people that are for armed struggle. We're people that are for armed struggle for the purpose of bringing on the people's revolution, for the purpose of setting up initiatives of socialistic state, and for the purpose, secondarily, of advancing into what you would call utopia or what we would call a communist state. We're saying that by observation and participation, by educating and by arming and by teaching the people revolutionary political power, we think that we as the vanguard can move those people that need to be moved that way. We can let those people ride our backs down the path of social revolution. And on and on and on, and finally, like we said, utopianism, what you call communism. We're very confident that nobody's coming in the front door. Nobody. No gas.
Nobody getting on the roof, Daryl. I want you to feel that. Nobody getting on the roof. Believe in, what is it? Fire, cover, and time.
Minister Health is going to be, the Minister Health and doctor is going to be covering me after while I'm loading up.
Now, I see you in all the given situations, like when you're trying to fight an enemy. See, because when you got high on him and you got high power too, you want the back.
What do you say? Look here. What do you say about this feeling?
Feeling right over there, west, you know, corner west.
Feeling thing about
it's his way of throwing.
It's higher than him.
Yeah.
Now, see, the only way we can get him is out shoot him or give him more firepower. See, we can keep him pinned down. He can't get up and shoot that shooting the bullets coming at him. So the only way that we can get him is out shooting, put too much firepower on him where he can.
Okay. Therefore, what you're saying is we got to eliminate, throw that process out of our mind by firing from the bouncers like that.
No. You just that and a whole lot of semi-automatic and automatic action on him over there, and he ain't got no time to fight nobody.
That's right.
Keep it down.
You might think sound reaction there on my part, man, but I just wish they would come tonight.
Yeah, well, I want them to come.
I wish the minister would. I said the people.
Why don't you get a military viewpoint on how much chance they got of coming up here?
No, it's impossible.
What is ever said? The difference between 20 million niggas and 20 million niggas on to the hill.
This is impossible, man. I ain't bullshit. I ain't know. And I didn't realize it, man.
Yeah, exactly. But we put Russ out there and you, and he won't even be able to get up. Two ain't.
Hey, we aren't asking for no water.
No, but the way I see it,
I think the people who had it first, people figure it.
Wait a minute,
we're drawing the line right here. Things will come no further. They are not going to make us retreat. We're going to have somewhere, no matter how far we run, no matter how long we have to run, that when we reach that point, we're going to be able to stop and say in the voice and hear you say it is that, motherfucker, you know what you thought, did? Because I got my gun, motherfucker, and you
you got yours. And if you try to shoot me with your gun, motherfucker, if you try to take my gun, well, then I intend to blow your motherfucking brains out.
They got two pigs that are five. They did it. Once they got the brothers down, they went back up there and fire started.
Nobody was up there except the police when the fire started.
Right. Frank, you want to come get a picture of that dude?
Yeah. Check that door, man. Magnified shotgun.
Any fire directed at them. Injured man identified as Larry White. Right on. An attendant to Cook County Hospital said they had head wounds and undetermined gravity. It was believed the man may have been injured while scuffling with police seeking to take him into custody.
Right on, Pete.
Pete,
yeah.
Red. Pete, yeah. Jumped from the roof.
Right on.
We say to Pig, Daddy, Hammerhead, Hanneran, Pig Collins, and the rest, no more brothers will be taken from us without cause. Chairman Fred is gone from the streets where his heart and his people are, but not for long. For the people's love for Fred Hampton is lovelier than lovely.
night when the pig vamped on the office, the community were all out there. They were in the uproar. They couldn't dig it because they know we are the people's party. We are working in the interest of the people. You dig it?
Right.
I'd like to talk about what we're doing because we're in the Black Panther Party. Yeah, we are. We are our propaganda unit. But we spend most of our time working with these programs and helping the people, serving the people. Huey P. Newton, our Minister of Defense, says that the Black Panther Party, the organization like Oxen, to be written by the people down the path of social revolution. You dig it? Because of these programs, that we putting these programs out for the people, digging, that's what they're for. The programs are the answer to the basic needs and desires of the people, to let the people know that the Black Panther Party is concerned about the basic needs and desires of the people, to educate the people to the fundamentals of socialism and to heighten the contradiction. That's what it's all about. And they're going to attack us, because we ain't talking about the Black Panther Party is going to overthrow this government. We said we're going to heighten the contradiction so the people can see that injustices that go on and the people can decide whether the government needs changing or not.
Educational process, a learning process. Sometimes I decide to take it about some of the action that's going to be taken against me and other members of the party, and I say, I don't know why I'm not scared. But you know what I define this being? I define this being a people high. I define this being high off the people. You high? I'm high. You understand what I'm saying? I'm high off the people. Send me away to the penitentiary, and I went to the penitentiary way down in the Nod, Illinois. I'm thinking, I said, well, I'm way down here in the country. I might stay here, no people. When I got to Menard, I myself, even being in the vanguard, had to get on my knees and learn from the people. I had to put my ear to the ground. And when I put my ear to the ground, I heard a beat. Hear that beat. By anybody. We're talking about we're going to make some changes in this system.
We know they have our bitches, we know they're looking for us, we know they want us, but we're still saying that even though we could be in a fit, as far as this system goes, on the mountaintop, we in the Black Panther Party because of our dedication and understanding what's in the valley, knowing that there's people in the valley, knowing that we originally came from the valley, knowing that our flag is the same flag as the people in the valley, knowing that our enemy is on the mountaintop, our friends are in the valley. We say even though it's nice to be on the mountaintop, we're going back to the valley. I've been offered every day. I'd be in the streets propagandizing every day. I'd be working with everybody every day. I'd be preaching that solidarity is the thing. The end of a complete wipeout of imperialism is the thing. So if you're going to be thinking about me, that's what Bobby would be teaching. If you're going to be thinking about us, all we say is we don't, ain't no thing about going nowhere, getting killed. All we want to know is that you're doing what we'd be doing if we were here. And you've got to do that. You can't do it unless you believe that you can do it. In the spirit of liberation, we understand that they want everybody in the party in jail. If we
the people. So the quick solution.
We love the people.
Okay, you put your hands down now. We say all power to all people. We say white power to white people. Brown power to brown people. Yellow power to yellow people. Black power to black people. X power to those that we left out. We say Panther power to Vanguard Party. When you leave here, you know what I'm saying? The last word, before you go to bed, next time I am a revolutionary. Make that the last word. In case you don't wake up, then somebody might believe it and you might, you know, end up in what they call a revolutionary happy hunting ground. Say that. Then I am a revolutionary.
I hope that's not the end of the segment that I have in hand. Suppose that it is. Here we go. Right now, he's going through some things that they're showing a little footage of what's happening, what's going on during the shootout.
That's what it is.
Of the occupants in shooting at announced police officers emphasizes the extreme viciousness of the Black Panther Party. So does their refusal to cease firing at the police officers when urged to do so several times.
This is 2337 West Monroe, described by police as a depot for Black Panther Party arms and ammunition. 14 state attorney's policemen led by Sergeant Daniel Grove found out indeed it was a depot for weapons. After a 15-minute gun battle that cost Illinois Black Panther Party Chairman Fred Hampton his life, Sergeant Grove described the parade as 15 minutes of hell and a miracle. A miracle because not one policeman was killed, a miracle because not more policemen were shot. The firing stopped only when the occupants realized their arsenal was no match for the police arsenal, an arsenal that included a .45 caliber submachine gun and two shotguns.
What they didn't understand, and what Edward B. Hanrahan doesn't understand, and what Richard Jolodek, his chief assistant, didn't understand, and what those police officers who put those two bullets in the skull of his head as he lay asleep didn't understand, and what Richard Nixon and his assistant lackey, Mr. Mitchell, don't understand,
is that you can't kill Chairman Fred.
Right on!
What they didn't understand is that anyone who would try to kill him is and shall ever be an enemy of the people. And that whoever would do that can only be appropriately called not a person, but a pig. What they didn't understand when they did that is that Pig died, but Chairman Fred lived.
You are the ones who are going to decide for yourselves what happened in that apartment on the morning of December 4th. You are going to decide whether or not Fred Hampton and Mark Clark was a victim of premeditated murder.
At this time, there's no response from within. I take my revolver in my right hand, and I pound possibly 4, 5, or 6 times. A voice from within, a male voice from within, replies, "Who's there?" I respond, "Police officers, I have a search warrant. Open the door."
As soon as Sergeant Daniel Groth and Officer James Davis, who were leading our men, announced their office, occupants of the apartment attacked them with shotgun fire.
I wait several seconds. There's no reply from within. The door is not open. I again take my revolver in my right hand. I wait a second or so. A male voice from within the apartment says, "Just a minute."
There was no response from the group. There was no verbal response.
The response from the group was the firing of a shotgun blast at our police officers.
There was no verbal response in addition to that.
The response to our police officers was the firing at them by a person in the apartment.
Didn't they ask who was it several times?
When the police officers announced their office, they were fired upon.
Didn't they ask who was it at the door?
I looked at Duke. It's okay, Duke. Going over to about here, and I hit the door, and I go to the stairs. Duke forces this door here open. Simultaneously with that, we enter. A shot rings out. Duke falls off in this direction. I enter in a semi-erect position. There's a woman lying on the bed with a shotgun, calmly pumping it, pointed in my direction, and fires. The fire illuminates her face. I get a very good look at her. I feel something go over my left shoulder. I then step back here. I look in, get up on my toes, find my revolver, look in again, cover my face, and fire several shots at the girl.
I heard a knock on the door. He said, the policeman told us to open up. And my pops, he said, just a minute, he got up. And next thing I knew, they had busted into the door. They came in shooting. They shot me. They shot Mark Clark.
This woman fires a shot. And the illumination apparently illuminates, or Dan shooting illuminates a fella sitting behind the door in a chair. He's pumping his shotgun. I turn in his direction. I fired 2 shots at him. As the shots apparently hit him, he stands up. I stand up with him. We struggle. He falls down over the chair on the floor with his head facing the corner of the door here in the wall. I fall across his body.
This here is the room where the first brother, Mark Clark, was murdered at.
Don't touch nothing. Don't move nothing. We want to keep everything just the way it is.
Don't touch no walls. Please, don't.
Okay, this here is the door that they said the sister fired through with a shotgun. But if the sister had fired through this door with a shotgun, you could look at the wall out there and see some holes where the pellets had left out there. You can see no signs of a shotgun blast being fired through this door here.
Sir, you say your men were fired upon. Witnesses who have seen the apartment say there is no evidence of bullets from the direction where the Panthers supposedly were to be.
I said that after our officers announced their purpose and their station several times, they were fired upon from within the room.
We say this is nothing more than a fascist lie, justified a murder that took place in this crib here. This doorway here, which is absent of a door, the door has been removed and is now in the possession of our defense attorneys, and it's going to be used in our case to prove that what happened here was nothing more than murder.
After days of maneuvering, Black Panther attorney Francis Andrew finally brought a bullet-punctured door panel to the inquest. However, a controversy immediately arose as to whether Andrew's panel was the same one that was removed from the Black Panther apartment. This is Andrew's version.
Which side is the outside, sir?
The outside, you're looking from the inside now.
Looking from the inside now?
Yes. You look out this side.
Is this the inside?
This is the outside.
It looks like the door is splintered on both sides.
You see that there is a hole up here, which none of the police in their testimony have mentioned. As a matter of fact, they have denied this hole up here. It shows a bullet coming from the outside to the inside.
The hole at the bottom there.
The hole at the bottom is a hole that was made while the door was standing wide open.
Assistant State's Attorney Nicholas Motherway says Andrew could have gotten the door panel at any lumber yard. Motherway's point was backed up at least in part by a police crime lab technician who examined the door in the Panther apartment the same day as the raid. The technician said, first of all, that there was only one hole in the panel the day he examined it, and second of all, he said that he couldn't be sure the panels were one and the same.
This is December 4th, 1969 at 10:54 a.m. My name is Skip Andrew, and I'm at 2337 West Monroe Street in Chicago, Illinois.
This door, which is the door entering into the living room, has two holes in it. This one I'm pointing to right here, 10 inches from the edge, and this one down here, 12 inches. The first one I referred to being 25 from the top, and the second one, 36 from the top. Now, as you open this, there's also, of course, a knob door in this one. As you open this door, there's blood behind the door. The top hole shows that the bullet was incoming.
They fired through the door and hit the brother through the door. The brother fell here. Most of the blood is dried up, but you can see a little bit of it there and a little bit of it on the floor. The brother was shot four or five times, so after they came through the door, they shot him again to make sure he was dead.
Mr. Montgomery, Dr. Constantino, testified today that Mark Clark could not have struggled after receiving that shot through the heart. Now, in your mind, does this contradict the testimony of Officer Davis, who described a struggle?
Yes, it seems to me that was a very startling thing. We also learned that the bullet, which was in fact recovered from Mr. Hampton's body, was a bullet fired out of a carbine by Officer Davis. So that indicates also that Officer Davis may well have walked into that back bedroom, contrary to his testimony, and fired a shot into the body of Fred Hampton at one point in time or other.
There were six of us assigned to the back door. I came up on the back porch. I placed myself to the right of the door. I put my head down enough so I could hear if there was any conversation in the building. I heard people talking in the front, and then I heard a loud shot, sounded like a shotgun. I backed up and kicked the door open. I started in, and before I could get past the threshold, there were three shots fired from the rear bedroom. They were directed directly at the back door as I was coming in. I backed out again.
Only by the grace of God was one of our or two of our police officers prevented from being killed when they were fired upon as soon as they announced their office and knocking on the door.
On December 11, 1969, the Chicago Tribune carried a story that it characterized as an exclusive version from the state's attorney's office.
Why was the disclosure made in the Chicago Tribune?
Because that newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, in my opinion, gave a very balanced, fair report of the events that occurred.
It has nothing to do with the class of people or the type of people that buy the Tribune as opposed to other papers in the city?
Does anybody have a sensible question?
Included in the exclusive was a photo carefully circled to show bullet holes supposed to be in the back door.
The account that we made public yesterday gives a detailed explanation of what happened in that apartment. I stand wholeheartedly behind it as absolutely accurate.
There is one inconsistency in, well, for example.
I do not intend to quibble about that account.
Do you know it the truth?
The account that we gave of the events is the truth.
What
one of the four pictures you gave the Tribune had two bullet holes on the right side of what was supposed to be the rear door.
Now, Hanrahan has lied before, and he's going to lie again. That hole that he's blown up in the papers is the hole of a nail.
Tight close-up of a nail head.
Plus a little bit of the door hasp.
Plus the door hasp. Mm-hmm. Now, here you see the large nail heads being pointed out.
I have said that we released the pictures. We have not characterized or described the conditions that they portray, other than to say that that is an accurate portrayal of that particular object.
Do you know if any of the four pictures they received had portrayed bullet holes in any of the walls?
Another photo claimed to show the bullet-riddled door across from the bedroom. The officers testified that the Panthers fired into that door from inside their bedroom. In fact, the door in the photo was the bedroom door, and the holes in the door were made by police gunfire at the Panthers.
As you can see, bathroom door is intact. Not only the bathroom door, but the entire wall area is intact.
There was a picture of the inside of the door to the bathroom, yes.
That door, our reporters discovered, corresponded to one on the front living room adjoining the bedroom. There were holes in the door. When the door was open, those holes corresponded to holes that were in the wall adjoining between the bedroom and the living room. And when they stuck a stick through the holes, they all matched up.
I make no evaluation of the pictures other than to say they portray conditions as they existed in that apartment at the time those pictures were taken.
This is the door that's supposed to contain numerous marks, from a stray shotgun blast and small arms fire, which again was fired by members of the vicious Black Panther Party, who were standing in this bedroom here, shooting out into the hallway here.
I urge your inventory of each of these vicious weapons. This attack by the Black Panthers on the police, plus the weapons which were recovered at the depot where they were storing them, clearly demonstrates the true character of the Black Panther Party.
Nobody, I have never denied that there were no weapons there. As a matter of fact, he would be a fool if he didn't have a weapon there, knowing the ferociousness of the pigs, how they just jump out of the cars and shoot you down, how they knock on your door and blow 19-year-old sister's head off with shotguns, how they kill two brothers in 1 week. And as a matter of fact, everybody that's concerned should have a something in their home to protect themselves, because Hanrahan is a madman.
Mr. Hanrahan, can you tell me why your officers did not try to use tear gas? Isn't this the usual procedure to flush someone out of a building?
Our officers used the means necessary to effect the search and to prevent themselves from being killed upon after they were fired upon.
Isn't it true that your men usually use tear gas in situations such as this, and why didn't they use it this time?
No, that is not true.
It is not true?
They came with a murder on their mind, you see. And even if they wanted to take somebody to jail, it would be a simple matter of just shooting some tear gas and just draw everybody out.
Right on.
This is where our chairman had his brains blown out, as he lay in his bed, sleeping at 4:30 in the morning.
Someone came into the room, started shaking the chairman. Said, Chairman, wake up, the pigs are vamping. Still half asleep, I looked up, and I saw a bullet coming from, it looked like, the front of the apartment, from the kitchen area. And they were, pigs were just shooting. And about this time, I jumped on top of the chairman. He looked up. Looked like all the pigs converged at the entranceway to the bedroom area, back bedroom area. The mattress is just going. You could feel the bullets going into it. I just dead, everybody in there. When he looked up, just looked up, he didn't say a word, and he didn't move, except for moving his head up. He laid his head back down to the side like that. He never said a word, and he never got up out the bed. The person who was in the room They kept calling out, "Stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant woman or a pregnant sister in here." At the time, I was 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. My baby was to be delivered in 2 weeks. Pigs kept on shooting. So I kept on hollering out. Finally, they stopped. They pushed me and the other brothers by the kitchen door and told us to face the wall. I heard a pig say, "He's barely alive, he'll barely make it." I assumed they were talking about Chairman Fred. So then they started shooting the pig. They started shooting again. I heard a sister scream. They stopped shooting. Pig said, "He's good and dead now." The pigs were running around laughing. They were really happy, you know, talking about Chairman Fred is dead. I never saw Chairman Fred again.
Inflammatory statements and false charges against our office have been made by spokesmen for the Black Panther Party and others, despite the fact that the speakers had no reliable knowledge about the occurrence.
Well, the best account that I can give is the room that I was in and the actions of things surrounding me personally, you know. First thing I remember when I woke up was a knock on the door, and it was only a matter of seconds. In fact, I'd say it was less than 5 seconds that I heard, you know, shots. Now, the thing that struck me was that I not only heard shots, but I can see plaster coming out of the walls in my room. So I knew the bullets were coming through the room that I was in.
I stepped over, and I put the machine gun still on single fire, and I started from the left side of the wall, coming across, watching where the rounds were hitting, and I went over the girl's head, down on the other side of her, and continued fire across this wall.
One strange thing about this wall is this. The state attorney, the stop rating pig, say that they fired numerous slugs going up and downward, up and downward motion, attempting to avoid hitting the people in the apartment here. You notice that all these slugs are on a straight line. You also notice that all were fired at a low level, at about bed level.
Next thing I remember is someone, I think it was one of the pigs, told us to come out of the room, but there were still shots being fired. Now, I didn't know at this here time that people had came, were coming through the back door, but I took it that shots were being fired in the back of the house and at the front of the house. And, you know, they were all coming through the walls. The walls were nothing but plasterboard. And, you know, a bullet come through the front of the house and would go all the way through out the back. Somebody told us to get out, but I remember we were so afraid and bullets were still coming that we remained on the floor. I heard another pause, and then one.
I'm here. 347-838-9825. Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. Blog Talk Radio. I'm doing the murder of Fred Hampton and examining it. And we had a technical problem, so we're trying to get it together now. December 4th, 1969. Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, members of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party, were assassinated.
Portray conditions as they existed in that apartment at the time those pictures were taken.
This is the door that's supposed to contain numerous marks from a stray shotgun blast and small arms fire, which again was fired by members of the vicious black pacifiers were standing in this bedroom here, shooting out into the hallway here.
I urge of each of these vicious weapons, this attack by the Black Panthers on the police, plus the weapons which were recovered at the depot where they were storing them, clearly demonstrates the true character of the Black Panther Party.
Nobody, I have never denied that there was no weapons there. As a matter of fact, he would be a fool if he didn't have a weapon there, knowing the ferociousness of the pigs, how they just jump out of the cars and shoot you down, how they knock on your door and blow 19-year-old sister's head off with shotguns, how they kill two brothers in 1 week. And as a matter of fact, everybody that's concerned should have a something in their home to protect themselves, because Hanrahan is a madman.
Mr. Hanrahan, can you tell me why your officers did not try to use tear gas? Isn't this the usual procedure to flush someone out of a building?
Our officers used the means necessary to effect the search and to prevent themselves from being killed upon after they were fired upon.
Isn't it true that your men usually use tear gas in situations such as this, and why didn't they use it this time?
No, that is not true.
It is not true?
They came with a murder on their mind, you see.
Yes.
Even if they wanted to take somebody to jail, it would be a simple matter of just shooting some tear gas in here to draw everybody out.
Right
on. This is where our chairman had his brains blown out. As he lay in his bed, sleeping at 4:30 in the morning.
Someone came into the room, started shaking the chairman. Said, Chairman, wake up, the pigs are vamping. Still half asleep, I looked up, and I saw bullets coming from, it looked like, the front of the apartment, from the kitchen area. And they were, pigs were just shooting. And about this time, I jumped on top of the chairman. He looked up. Looked like all the pigs reversed at the entrance way to the bedroom area, back bedroom area. The mattress was just going. You could feel the bullets going into it. I just dead, everybody in there. When he looked up, just looked his head up. He laid his head back down to the side like that. He never said a word. He never got up off the bed. Person was in the room. They kept hollering out, "Stop shooting, stop shooting. We have a pregnant woman or a pregnant sister in here." At that time, I was 8.5 to 9 months pregnant. My baby was delivered in 2 weeks. Pigs kept on shooting. So he kept on hollering out. Finally, they stopped. They pushed me and the other brother by the kitchen door and told us to face the wall. Heard the pig say, "He's barely alive. He'll barely make it." I assumed they were talking about Chairman Fred. But then, they started shooting the pig. They started shooting again. I heard the sister scream. They stopped shooting. Pig said, "He's good and dead now." The pigs running around laughing. They were really happy, you know, talking about Chairman Fred is dead. I never saw Chairman Fred again.
Inflammatory statements and false charges against our office have been made by spokesmen for the Black Panther Party and others, despite the fact that the speakers had no reliable knowledge about the occurrence.
Well, the best account that I can give is the room that I was in and the actions of things surrounding me personally, you know. First thing I remember when I woke up was a knock on the door. And it was only a matter of seconds. In fact, I'd say it was less than 5 seconds that I heard, you know, shots. Now, the thing that struck me was that I not only heard shots, but I can see plaster coming out of the walls in my room. So I knew the bullets were coming through the room that I was in.
I stepped over, and I put the machine gun still on single fire, and I started from the left side of the wall
coming across, watching where the rounds were hitting, and I went over the girl's head, down on the other side of her, and continued fire across this wall.
One strange thing about this wall is this. The state attorney is operating here. He's saying that they fired numerous slugs going up and down, up and downward motion, attempting to avoid hitting the people in the apartment here. You notice that all these slugs are on a straight line. You also notice that all were fired at a low level, at about bed level.
Next thing I remember is someone, I think it was one of the pigs, told us to come out of the room. But there were still shots being fired. Now, I didn't know at this here time that people had were coming through the back door, but I took it that shots were being fired in the back of the house and at the front of the house. And, you know, they were all coming through the walls. The walls were nothing but plasterboard. And, you know, a bullet come through the front of the house and go all the way through the, out the back. Somebody told us to get out, but I remember we were so afraid and bullets were still coming that we remained on the floor. I heard another pause, and then one of the pigs told us that if we don't come out, he was going to put something in there that would really get him out. The idea came in my mind that they were going to shoot tear gas or something in there.
We realized that there are still some people remaining in the front bedroom. We don't know whether they're injured or not. So I plead, and I conjure, I beg him to come out. Please come out with your hands out. Throw out your weapon.
But the next thing I heard was a barrage of shots, real fast. And, you know, we were hit this time.
I started with the gun, still on single fire, being very careful and watching where each round hit on the wall. I walked them around the girl sitting on the bed and brought it all the way across the wall again. As I was doing this, Officer Davis was stepping up, and he starts firing across the wall from right to left. I put one shot in the door. I put a short burst with the machine gun on automatic fire into that closet. I fired four or five shotgun blasts into the bedroom. The second form, still coming up, caught a blast as the gun came further across the room.
They told me, you know, to get up and walk. And I told them I couldn't. And then I think they hit me or did something. They told me they would kill me if I stayed there. So I kept trying. I managed, you know, to get up. And I made a little hop. And I finally hopped out, you know.
I am taking the word of our policeman over what we understand is supposed to be a version provided by a defense attorney and by the occupants of the apartment.
I was hit five times. I was hit two times in the stomach, one time in the leg, and I was hit grazed in each hand. Yeah. This is just a scar. You know, I had to have a section of my colon taken out because of an infection, and I was shot over here.
I expect the general public to recognize the quality of these men's work, and the political consequences can take care of themselves. Of course I don't plan to resign.
We change the story every time from newspaper to newspaper, from channel, one channel to another channel. We've had to change the story as we've brought up facts, truth about the evidence that he reportedly have given out, such as the nail heads, such as the bullet holes and whatnot in the walls. And it's only my conclusion is that Hanrahan, if he wanted to give an objective opinion about what happened here that morning, he would have to come to this apartment and find out, because he's doing a whole lot of subjective analysis, because the man haven't come to the apartment to find out what really did go down in the apartment. And we invite Hanrahan here to see for himself the evidence that we have shown to the masses of people and to the public.
Mr. Henry, have you been at the scene yourself?
No, I have not been at the scene.
Based on available evidence, namely the physical condition of the home and its contents, the physical condition of the remains of Fred Hampton, the search warrant was merely a subterfuge, and the mission of the police was to murder and maim.
This blatant act of legitimatized murder
strips all credibility from law enforcement. In the context of other acts against militant blacks in recent months, it suggests an official policy of systematic repression. The pious statements of State's Attorney Hanrahan concerning the brave response of the police against the vicious Panther attack, and his allusion to the grace of God concerning the sparing of the policeman, only makes the situation more macabre and terrifying.
As an individual, are you convinced that the official version is a lie, that it is a case of murder?
Personally, I am.
Anyone who went through that apartment and examined the evidence that was remaining there could come to only one conclusion, and that is that Fred Hampton, 21 years old, and a member of a militant, well-known militant group, was murdered in his bed, probably as he lay asleep. It seems very clear to us that he was assassinated, and the police officer who did that assassination then walked away from it and said to other people, Bobby Rush is next. Now, all of you who know Bobby Rush know that he is the Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party and also one of our clients. And all of you also, I assume, know that Bobby Rush's apartment was broken into last night and also searched, but fortunately for him, he's still alive because he was not in the apartment.
Do you think if you had been in your apartment yesterday, you would have been shot by police?
Yes, I would have been murdered. I still think there's a great possibility of people trying to murder me. All the moves in the past, the initiative has been on the part of the police. They've murdered Fred Hampton. They're out to murder me. It's like they'll murder anybody that's black in this country.
Do you think there's going to be retaliation then by the Panthers?
There won't be any retaliation by the Panthers. I think that the time will come when the people themselves will take the power that belongs to them into their hands and move to guarantee life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We will not be forced underground until the people where we really feel satisfied that we've done our duty, performed our duty to educate the masses of people to the injustices that the power structure inflicts upon poor people in this country. All the mass demonstrations that young people endorse that this is happening right now.
Bobby, what's the next move for you personally?
There's no personal anymore. I'm a people's man. So I do whatever the people decide. There's nothing personal about it whatsoever. And the time is, we'll be there to save the people's
hand. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Of course, numerous people have attempted to make formal and informal investigations with a report by the grand jury for the Federal District Court in the Northern District of Illinois. And I quote, "This report contains the findings of the grand jury after hearing nearly 100 witnesses and considering over 130 exhibits, including police records, photographs, moving pictures, transcripts of testimony before other bodies, voluminous investigative and scientific reports, and reports of investigative interviews with over 100 potential witnesses who were not called." And, of course, among the main witnesses before the federal grand jury were the 14 raiders in the apartment, the police officers who were assigned to the state's attorney's office. The report tells us, contrary to some of their testimony prior to the grand jury proceedings, the report tells us that at 4 a.m. on December 4, Sergeant Groth briefed the 13 assembled officers and told them the location of the raid and that Panther Arms were involved.
Did you know that they were Black Panthers?
No, we didn't. We just knew that, or we were informed that there were guns and contraband in the building.
Did you have information that indicated that Fred Hampton might be there?
Not to my knowledge.
You just knew that there were guns and possibility of that these may have been Black Panthers?
All we knew is there were guns in there.
At this point, it appears that the people who are deceased were in the gun battle.
Oh, they were definitely in a gun battle.
I mean, they were firing at police.
Yes, sir. We saw the shots coming out of the two bedrooms.
Sergeant Groth, of course, from the beginning claimed, along with his fellow officers, that a shot had been fired by a young Panther woman in the far corner of the living room door as the officers entered the door. The report, however, explains the impossibility of this account given by the officers. Reading again now from the report from page 181, it says, "Groth, Davis, Jones, and Gorman," those are all officers, "all insist that a shot was fired by Brenda Harris at them as they came in the door. none of them could explain what had become of this shot, and it is not possible to draw a line from the southeast corner of the living room, where Harris was said by Davis and Groth to be on the bed holding the gun, out through the living room door, the entrance hall door, and the outside door. There are no holes in the west wall of the apartment.
Officer Carmody, when you knocked on the door, what happened?
Well, I didn't actually knock. I heard our officers at the front announce their office and shots fired. So I kicked in the back door, and as soon as the door opened, I could see shots being fired at us at the back door.
Do you have any idea how many shots were fired?
Quite a few. I have no idea.
You have any idea over how long a period the gun battle ensued?
It seemed like an hour to me.
Of course, the raiders would have us believe that they approached the apartment in a gentlemanly fashion, that they were attempting to save human life. They knocked on the door and they announced their purpose. They fired no shots until they were fired at. They called for a ceasefire on at least three different occasions.
Thereafter, three times, Sergeant Groth ordered all his men to cease firing and told the occupants to come out with their hands up. Each time, one of the occupants replied, "Shoot it out." And they continued firing at the police officers.
By their own testimony, they admit that for 12 minutes, for 12 solid minutes in those early morning hours, there was gunfiring in that apartment. And yet the federal grand jury concludes that only one possible shot could have come from a Panther weapon. And that shot could have come through the door by a man who had just been shot in the heart. They would have us believe that even though there was only one Panther shot, they called for a ceasefire on three different occasions and didn't get it until they continued their firing. The great variance between the physical evidence and the testimony of the officers raises the question as to whether the officers are falsifying their accounts. Those officers fired 99 shots through the walls of an apartment where they knew people were sleeping. Murdered is defined in Illinois as follows: a person who kills an individual without lawful justification commits murder if, in performing the acts which caused the death, he knows that such acts create a strong probability of death or great bodily harm to that individual or another. Federal grand jury comes to its conclusions. Unquestionably, the raid was not professionally planned or properly executed, and the result of the raid was 2 deaths, 4 injuries, and 7 improper criminal charges. In spite of those conclusions, the report then goes on to say, the physical evidence and the discrepancies in the officers' accounts are insufficient to establish probable cause to charge the officers with a willful violation of the occupant's civil rights.
I want you to know that I want you to think. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not going to work for the people. Like we always did, if you ask to make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment, only because of the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you did already.
You have to understand that these lives of peace, Christ is peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to be after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from splitting on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm gonna die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm gonna die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, or you didn't be living. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Trip to Fred Hampton. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. We're out of time, so I'm sorry I can't take those calls. So good night. May your God be with you.
Very wise was he. There. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return. Hey, Jeffrey Haynes.